So Abba says, I am grafted in my Guru. You remember the event of Ramakrishna Paramahansa? Once Vivekananda's disciple, he told him, look at that one plate full of honey. He told it to see of immortality. Well, Vivekananda, where from you? Eat it. He said, I'll eat it from the corner. He said, why? Because my wings may not be besmeared with the honey. I may not fly, may down. Oh, dear friend, it is a sea of immortality. Plunge headlong into it. I am quoting all these things. Why? What do people think of spirituality? What it is really? What we are seeing, we sometimes discuss with that. So one is grafted to the Guru, there is no fear of anything. This one is the Guru. And Guru is world made flesh, and world is eternal. God is spirit, and we are spirit in man. First of all, we are the two temples of God. The other one is, as spirit is eternal, why should we fear we should die? So you become one with the world made flesh. No fear of death. From then on, there's no birth, no death, no more coming and going in creation. No negative power, for one is down into the very nectar of life, one is plunging in it. Anyone who had done this had no fear of death. I'll explain you, these things have been explained in the scriptures by giving examples. So one painter of one country went over to another country. He went to the king of that place and told him, you know the art of painting very wonderful. Would you give us a chance to show you? He said, all right. He lighted one hall of the big hall, or then you go on painting your what you want to show. The painter of that very country came up to the king, well, we also know this painting. Will you also permit us for competition? Yeah, all right. So a curtain was placed in the hall, so that one may not see what other is doing. Naturally, when the thing is done for competition, nobody will let anybody know. So the painter of the other country was there. They did everything, every day something. And king was visiting that place, yeah, they are doing something. But the painters of his own country, he did not see anything was doing on the other one. When that painting was ready, they invited the king, you may kindly come and see. Your art is ready now. He came and he saw, wonderful. And the other painter said, will you kindly visit us? He was fully convinced, they have done nothing, what will they show me? The curtain was taken out. To the amazement of the king, those very paintings were on the other wall. And there were some blemishes in the hand painting. That blemishes were also not in the other wall. So what have you done? They said, we have done nothing. After all, then we have been rubbing the wall so that could reflect. If a disciple rubs all thoughts, all impressions from his mind, except the Guru, he becomes saint. That is the simplest way to have the divine access, you might say. So I'll just relate to you some from the Master's sayings. They got in the scripture. I'll give you some quotations out of that. Just simply to let you know what is what. There's Guru Ramdas. I'll quote you that part. He says, I prayed God, O God, meet us with such a master, who is a Paras. Paras is a stone. If you touch it with some metal, that becomes gold. So meet a such a master, by coming in contact with it, we become gold, valuable. Then what he said, this time my prayer was heard. God made us come in contact with such a guru. He said, I was not even metal, I was simply rust. He made me not gold, but he made me the Paras itself. You got this? The same sort of master. Tell me what? Tell me, I wanted nothing except God, our Guru. Then worldly people, what do you say? We want a Guru for far, so that we may get redemption, higher heavens to enjoy, pleasures of this world or the other world. Generally people are like that who go to the Guru, to the Master. He said, I have nothing like that. I was so ruling passionate to know God. I wanted someone to me to make me valuable life. Can he not make me valuable life, but he made me it. That stone which turns all of us to gold. So can such men who got the ruling passion of seeing God, they don't want even salvation. They simply want to have a beatific vision of him, that's all. Once it is so sad, Lord Krishna went away, far away from the gopis, and they were just yearning, burning separation, crying, and Lord Krishna sent his servant Udo, go and tell them, well, why are they crying? God is within them. He did go, he gave some very good sermon, God is within you. The word Krishna comes from the root Kiri. Kiri means nearest to God, nearest to his soul. He is with you, why are you crying all these things? And they said, look here, Udo, what you say is all right. But I, we are trying to have a beautiful vision of the Lord Krishna. What is remedy with you? Is there any remedy for that? What you say is all right. But our eyes are not satisfied until we have a glimpse of the world. So this is, you see, we are all under delusion. We are conscious entities. We have been living in this man body. But we are so much identified with the body through mind and mind and outgoing faculties that we have forgotten also. Body is made of matter. This is changing every moment of life. And the world around us is also changing, being made of matter at the same speed as our body is changing. So as we are identified with the body and two things are moving and changing at the same speed, they appear to be stationary. Is it not grand belief? And God is love. Love is innate in our souls. That requires just to be attached to something. Because we have not seen God, nothing that is attached to the world outside. So under delusion and then with attachment outside, how can we dare to know God? Every time impressions are coming through the outgoing faculty. So take those who are lovers of God. Now compare yourself, ourselves, who are lovers of God, they don't want anything else except the beautiful vision of God. That's all. They don't want this world or the other world, salvation or anything. No. Now there's big gathering here. If you are in love with somebody, your heart goes to him. Your mind is marrying with nobody, except with him. So such a person who has a ruling passion for God, they appear to be in the world, but they are not of the world. They have got the true renunciation. One worldly man came to his sadhu. He told him, "You are a great, your initiation, you made a great initiation of the world all over." And the sadhu told him, "Dear friend, you are even bigger, greater world man as compared with me, because you have renounced God for the sake of the world. And we have renounced the world for the sake of God. Who is greater initiation?" So such men, they are in the world, but they are not of the world. Their boat is in the water, but water is not in the boat. Those who come in contact with the God into special power, which is called Nama, word, when our soul is attached like that, dried like anything, then the outer things do not affect you. So it gives an example that this tree, you see, it's called Chamana, which gives very good perfume with the, I mean, grind it and put silica on the head. And generally it is seen that those such trees are encircled with the fire stripes to get fruits, because they are burning, you see, in fire. You see, the whole tree, the world is a tree of God. It's all manifestation of its God. And the delusion we had that in the poison snake encircling the whole universe. If you want to take the sap of the tree, what will you do? First you will kill the snake and then have it. So if a master meets you, he drags you out of the delusion. He is God. So he says, such like Master meet us, what happens? Your heaps of firewood. You put in little fire to it, all are burnt away to ashes. You have got unlimited, what you say, all sins of the past lives. If you but take little of the light within from the sadhu, whose word makes life, they will burn away all. Because your ego is lost. So long as you are the doer, you will, as you sow, so shall you reap. If you see the light of God, that is a burn away all, because you become conscious co-worker of the divine plan. All ego is lost. Who will be there to reap the fruit of what he has sown? So, say, such like person, if you come within the radiation, such like persons, you will begin to see God. Because their body is charged. If body charged with electricity, that is like come near to you, you will affect it. If a man be smeared with perfume, if you near go by, you will have perfume or not? If he touches clothes, your clothes are perfumed. In whom the God is manifest, that radiation going on all around, naturally come sit at their feet. They become receptive. They become the same what they are. So for that he said, though have the company of those who are not, in whom God is not manifested, you'll be affected. Just like a scorpion when it bit, you have very terrible later on, at the time you only feel little pinch. Similarly, if you come across anyone who are not devoted to God, you will have the color of the world, survived all such company. So he says, within us, true society is of the saints, in whom God is manifest. When you come in contact with the one who is reverberating that begins to reverberate within you. You go to a Saint Sada, you get the perfume without any payment. But if he gives you fire, then. So when you meet such a master, he gives you initiation without your attention from outside, and gives you contact with the light and sound principle within you, however little or more it may be. That depends on the eastern background of course. So such like the society of the master, you see. What he does, he says, as Prabhupada says, God says, I am a hidden treasure within you. Why don't you seek me? And Guru Arjuna also says, the treasure divinity within you, in the japa you will find. Take the word of the master. So master is one who gives you a capital to start with, not leave you to go on, you will have it in due course. Of course, we are thankful to everybody at those who learn something. But it is the definition of a true master. You see? He will be able to give you something to start with. If such like, when we do find somewhere, then what we should do? He says, just sit at the feet for long. Don't leave the feet. So Guru Ramdas says further, what you should do, he says, I want to be the servants, slaves of the servants of God, in whom He is manifest. For how long you will like to be continuing this society? He says, until my last breath of blood goes out. He says, I want to die at the feet of such a master till death. Not to leave till before. He says, why are you asking for this? Among the six gifts you find, daily prayer we have got. Meet such a man with the mouthpiece of the Guru Mukh, who is a sadhu, who is imbued with the Nam power, Nam nectar. At night, before going to sleep, O God, let us sit at the feet of the dust of the feet of the saints. That's a very great prayer, highest prayer. He says, why you ask for this prayer? He says, because the most wise man, Shankar-like, they pray for it. First he said, it is all God, soul and God is no different thing. Then he gave little difference. Then he became the worshipper of incarnation. Narada is considered to be the eyes of all bhakta. He prays for that. Vishishta and Narada, Vishishta and Vishwamitra, they are two very great. Vishwamitra was a great. He put in 60,000 long years in penance. And Vishishta was always putting forward to people that the satsang, company of the saints in which God is benefited, that is more helpful, more precious. Now who could decide for the sake of people understanding? They gave to the Brahma, they came to the Vishnu, they came to the Shiva. Told them, well, please tell us which is higher. Penances are the contact with the saints. He said, both are very strong people. I don't think they will agree that they went to the, you say, Shaisnag, who has the whole burden of the earth is lying. Now I said, well, dear son, take off this burden. Only then I will decide what to say. Then Vishishta told Vishwamitra, all right, now apply your force of all senses that you got. Then he put in 20,000 years, 40,000 years, nothing happened, so he put in 50,000 years penances. The earth little moved from the head, again sat down on the head. And he said, well, please decide, so what should I decide? Again the burden of the earth is over my head. Of course it little risen above, of course. Now came the turn of Vishishta, who was always speaking highly about satsang. Satsang means, you see, contact with God, who is eternal. And until then, Jeev Satyanarayana Sahu, Guru Prithi is God, in whom that world is taking place. He said, all right, I give all the little, say, a double or so, whatever, pass in the company of the saints. And the earth rose above his head, and he said, decided, the Lord is decided. So Guru Ramdas said, that is why I am asking this prayer. That can be, and furthermore, when he says, I find wherever such masters lived, they became the places of pilgrimage. Christ lived at Jerusalem, and Jerusalem is the place of pilgrimage of all Christianity, is it not? Prophet Muhammad lived at Mecca. Mecca is the place of pilgrimage of all the Mohammedans all the world over. Buddha was invited. Buddha tree is in India. That's the place of all the Buddhists. Guru Nanak, where he was born, that was called Nankana Sahib. When he sat under a tree, soul tree, that became feet, that became that one. Later Sahib. When he sat with some Bali Kandhari, that became Pancha Sahib. All other places of worship, from Rishi and other things, wherever there's some person like that, that is the place of worship. Now Kabir says, oh God, I'm in a great dilemma. Who is greater? The world made Christ at the place at which he lived. Which is greater? One world made flesh sat in so many places, all places became the places of worship. Decidedly, the one is greater, one who is made flesh. He said, what does he give? What we should do? He said, leave all pride of your kingship, or your erudition, or your possession. Leave all and sit at the feet of such a master. It so happened, you see, Ravidas was a great saint, at whose feet Mirabai sat.
What? Have you read the kingdom?
Just about.
Hmm?
Just about, yes, sir.
I started 15 minutes late. Now just to make the whole thing start, you see. The king of Pipa king, in his jurisdiction, Ravidas lived. So all were going, he said, I'm a king, how can I go to a cobbler? He's afraid of that, he would not go. But one day Kunda remained, he went to his feet, it was evening time, he was washing the skin. Well, Master, I have come to you. All right, you will have the nectar. He was afraid of that, that whatever the skin which your skin was washed, he was very much, he could not say anything, but he did not drink the water and instead drank his shirt. Ran away. Oh God, I'm saved today. I was going to, like anything. He came over and called his washerman. Well, go wash it out. It was. There was some blot of the skin over there. He gave it to his daughter. He sucked that shit. And that was washed. That sucking had the charge. That daughter of the washerman became the same. Everybody runs to him, he's the same. One day, King Ahad, my master's man's daughter is a great soul. I should go and pay my visit, your visit. He went over there, and his daughter stood with a folded hand. He said, daughter, I have not come to you as a daughter, but I have come, you are a saint. Then I have also not stood up paying obeisance to you, because what I have got it is with your grace only. That was the charging that the Ravidas gives him. This is what I want to bring home. What is the effect of the charging of the radiation of a saint? You will change. Whatever goes into the, I mean, short mind, everything becomes short. So for that he says, what he gives? You are a businessman. If you go, what will he give? He says, He will rise your soul from all outside, from body below, give you contact with God, by knowing which all your accounts of sins will be washed. This he gives. He said, then what to do? Well, please don't wait. Do the earliest possible moment, go sit at the feet of such a master, so that your life may be insured. When this insurance business started quite early, one man came to me, have your life insured? I told him, when you have come, I have got my life already insured at the feet of my master. You have come only to insure my death, because if I die in 10 years, then I have got the full money. So such like master come from time to time. What they have got with them, they give the contact with God, which is like in some principles. That the music of the Akhand Kirtan going on, not outer, that's beyond the matter. And that is the water of life, that's the bed of life, that we call the Aryayat, this is the new plan. Master will come to raise your soul up and give you contact. What do they say? When they come with their arms like that, come on, please. Those who want to have the permanent peace with God, come on, God has come to be with you. So these things I am putting before you, devotion to the Master and what the Master gives. Without devotion to the Master, you cannot take a step further. And this devotion to the Master is the basic teaching of all Masters of Gita. Those who start on the way, they say, we do not hear, we left like this. This is all due to them, because we have no devotion for the Master. One third of teaching is given by the word of mouth, and two thirds by receptivity, that you lose. Some people come with all puffed up with their education and knowledge, we know better. They lose. You must become receptive if you want to have the full benefit of meeting a master. And first benefit is what? You know how to rise above body consciousness. You know when you rise daily above body consciousness, no fear of death. There's no escape from death. How can you conquer it? You know how to die daily? St. Paul said, I die daily. So these continuous three talks, again, subject by subject, this is that without which we cannot progress further. This is the one thing I am bringing to your notice. If you become, we are, what you say, grafted into the Guru, you cannot afford. If you are grafted into the Guru, the whole thing of the Guru comes within you. As the reflection of the painter, I told you. So please remain where you are. Master come not to touch the outer forms and rituals and the labels, to break one and start new. Or Master used to say, somebody told him, well, why don't you start a new religion? He says, wells are already dug. Water is everywhere. Why should they dig a new well? Basic teachings of all the Masters have been saying, whose scriptures are with us today, of all Masters who came in the path of today. We need now someone who can give a contact with that. And who, for that, true living is the one. And receptive. So mind that you have got full devotion for the Master. You need no questions. You will go on like anything, learning from day to day. Here it is where we need. We are wanting. So this is the third talk I gave you in a continuative way, what I came to know at the feet of my master, Baba Samsini, and by parallel study of scriptures, I played before you. As an average of level of every man, quoting from all scriptures. This is where we are wanting. If you want to derive the full benefit of the man body, sit at the table. The earliest possible. and be your, have your life insured later. Don't wait that you'll have it in due course or after that. A bird in hand is better than two in the bush. They don't come to break but to fulfill. Remain there. First have you taken all right. Man, a social being, must have some social body to live in. But to know God is the highest religion and true living. So thank you for your patient hearing. You gave last 2 hours and today what I have come to know I have placed before you. It is for you to see how far you have been benefited by it and how far you can be benefited by it. Thank you all. Tomorrow perhaps I will leave. So thank you all for your patient hearing. I think I am more fortunate than all of you because I have seen so many faces before me. You are less fortunate because you have seen only once. So thank you all.
Welcome to the satsang of Master Kripal Singh. The recording you just heard was the last part of the talk given by Master on 18th November 1972 at Santa Clara University, California. Our reader this morning is Marsha Crosby. Good morning, Marsha.
This reading is from Spiritual Elixir, Part 2, which is excerpts from the Master's letters to his disciples. I'm reading in Chapter 3, Guru, His Need and Functions. Without instruction from God-man, the Word cannot be communed with. But when this communion is had, it leads the soul to the Lord, from which the Word emanated, and all our efforts have their full reward. When you, through immeasurable good fortune, find such a holy person, stick to him tenaciously with all your mind and all your soul, for you can realize through him the object of your life, self-realization and God-realization. Do not look to his creed or color. Learn the science of the word from him and devote yourself heart and soul to the practice of the Word. Master is one with the Word. The Word is in him and incarnates in the flesh to give instructions to mankind. Truly, the Word is made flesh and dwells among us. It is really a great privilege to come under the personal influence of the Master. It helps the disciple within and without. However, the Master's grace is showed unendingly and flows to the initiates wherever they are, irrespective of distance, and they enjoy the same to the extent their receptive capacity has been developed. Reading good books is better than doing nothing or idling time in gossiping. But whatever one reads is to be made a part of one's life. This is possible only through the grace of a competent master who would give first-hand experience of the links of the God in expression power within. The instinct of love cannot come into play unless one sees the beloved. As long as we do not see God, or the glory of God, we cannot have any faith in the existence of God. And without this, all prayers go in vain. But Guru, or God-man, is the abode of God's light and is a radiating center of the same. We can pray with equal efficacy to the Master, who is at one with God. Connected as he is with the powerhouse behind him, the Master is equally competent to grant our desires and fulfill our wishes. At the time of initiation, Master takes charge of the karma of his disciples, making the disciple responsible only to him and not to the Lord of Karma. A very small amount of karma now remains to be tolerated in the physical body for the remaining years of the disciple's life. But even this is softened by the grace of the Master. In moments of misery, worry, and trouble, the Master is our refuge. He acts unperceived at any distance. The Master holds us in loving embrace. There is no court of trial after death for a love-hearted disciple. The Master is all. He, the initiate, meets Master within, talks to him face to face as he advances on the path, and is henceforth certain of his grace, guidance, and protection wherever he may go, even to the other end of the earth, from the very beginning of initiation. The audible life stream is the shield of the initiate, and even the angel of death dreads its presence and cannot reach the initiate when he or she is a devoted disciple of the living Master. The only medicine for all the ailments is the practice of the holy sound, together with the Master's spiritual help and guidance. The Master is not a person only. He is the power which guides and helps us at every stage and in every region during our inward spiritual journey. When we are in the physical body, he instructs us in his physical form. When we go inward to the astral plane, he is in his astral form. And as we proceed further, he assumes the form of each region, all the way up to Satchkhand. You are right when you say that you cannot go up the mountain without the strength of the Master. A devotee by himself cannot do anything, much less transcend by consciousness. The Master, when initiating a disciple, manifests his own power within the disciple, and thus remains with him always and enables him to rise into the beyond. The devotee's job is simply to sit quietly, cut off from the body consciousness and all outer entanglements. The Master awaits for him anxiously at the door with hands full of grace to shower upon the devotee the moment he turns up toward him. I quite appreciate your sincerity in this matter and assure you that there is nothing to be disheartened about. You are simply to turn to him. Masters form a divine brotherhood in God. They are the gems of humanity who have completed the evolution and risen into God. They have achieved complete oneness with the divine being and are overflowing with the holy word of life. The unfoldment of the spiritual life is quickened by the help of a master. This help is of immense value. It quickens the inner possibilities of the soul. It awakens the spiritual life in us and leads us to the highest goal. This quickening impulse cannot be derived from sacred books. As light comes from light, so life comes from life. A soul must receive live impulses through the lyrical glances of some master saint. Mere book knowledge or intellectual development fails to awaken spirituality. Through book learning, the intellect is certainly stuffed, but the spirit receives no food. This is why each one of us can speak fluently of spiritual matters, but our actual life gives no evidence of it. A living spirit can be quickened into life only through the living impulses from a master soul. You may call such a man by any name you like, but such a man is necessary. Each religion has testified to the need of such an existence. Without the help of one who has truly imbibed the truth beyond, no progress can be made in the way of spirituality. God-man is the only true friend. All worldly connections are severed at the time of death. All friends, all relatives, the wife and children must part. Who is there to accompany you to the other world? The Word personified in God-man. He helps you in all your undertakings here and hereafter. The God-man receives the initiates at the time of death, when all others fail. Like a never-failing friend, he always holds out his helping hand. It is always beneficial, spiritually, to follow the behests of the Master and to be resigned to his will and pleasure. Complete surrender invokes his mercy, and those who rely upon him are rewarded abundantly. Everything that comes to you in the divine dispensation is invariably right for your spiritual progress. Everything that comes to you in the divine dispensation is invariably right for your spiritual progress. The Master showers blessings through his looks, which eager ones catch. His eyes are wonderful, all spray of love. I am happy to hear you experienced a strong emotion of happiness and love in your heart when the Master was with you. Such disciples are indeed blessed. It is only through a living master that one can contact the Almighty God within. All I need add is that the Christ or God power that worked on the selected human pole of Jesus, who was his mouthpiece, works on the chosen pole of the living master from time to time to reclaim and own his dear ones, to guide them, and show them the same way to him. He is just like an electric bulb which is fused and another is put in its stead. Physical body passes away, but the Christ power never leaves until the end of the world. His benign grace works at all times, past, present, and future. Thus, the High One works unceasingly at all times, through a living master. There are ways and means whereby the yogis may fly to any place they like. Saints do not adopt these methods. They are word personified. Regarding gurus and masters, it may be remembered that everything seeming similar is not the same. Masters abound, and from among those highly thought of or talked about preachers, the majority of them will be found talking of self-experience, though they are able to express the theory side in a thousand different ways with the sweetest words possible. The only criterion for judging is one's own inner ascent to the spiritual planes, whereby one can see for himself or herself and meet all the masters, past and present, wherever they may be, in upper or lower planes. If one, having experiences of the lower planes, thinks and claims to be in the eternal home, one with him, and equal to those who have reached the ultimate goal and begins to teach while he or she has much more to learn and see, how would you accept him or her? The worst of it is that lay people are easily deceived by the acting and posing of such so-called self-styled teachers, as they are quite clever externally in talking about spiritual matters of which they have only a second-hand knowledge through books or hearsay. Even a loving disposition may be imitated to a certain extent. That is the reason that the world is full of masters. Christ warns us, beware of false prophets who come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. Those who contact and talk to the master within and see everything in its true light do not enter into fruitless discussions, but keep silent. The master is ever present with you in the God into expression power of light and sound. And the light, at times, transforms into the master's radiant form within. To have inner experiences of godly light and sound is no small thing, and really only the fortunate few blessed from above receive them. The more one progresses within, the more he or she becomes aware of the futility and emptiness of the outer life. The master comes for yearning souls and works their way up in due course. The master ignites the great love on the first day of initiation by granting the gift of holy nam in celestial light and sound divine. The extent of this gift depends greatly upon the capacity of receptivity of each one. This loving fire grows in intensity and volume and gives bliss, serenity, and calmness. This should be kept within, like the fire in a kiln, where leakage would result in unburnt and unripe bricks, in the vernacular of our speech, so that all other desires short of him are slowly and slowly burned away and eradicated from one's heart. The reciprocation is accelerated by abiding in the words of the master, so much so as to meet the radiant master within and hand over oneself for the higher journeys within. The kind father's love for the dear children is immensely great, and he wishes to see each one of them come up to him. Indeed, virtues multiply in abundance when cultivated earnestly. Needless to say, the magnetic touch of the gracious master power, the holy nam, adds a far greater charm and beauty when the disciplined dear ones become a source of help and inspiration for their less gifted brethren. A disciplined life full of humility and piety is an asset and should be cultivated and cherished so as to prove what you profess. Eyes are the windows of the soul. The Lord looks at the suffering humanity in compassion and mercy through the eyes of the living master, and higher planes are reflected therein. You are fortunate in bearing testimony to the sacred truth when you realize the sublime depth of spiritual beatitude in his eyes. Divine mercy is a boundless ocean which, when stirred with the grace of a master, surpasses all bounds of human comprehension. Ever since the child disciple is initiated into the mysteries of the beyond by the master, the gracious master power resides with him or her at the Tizrit Hill and watches everything for the spiritual betterment of him or her, and those who obediently endeavor to abide by his behests are rewarded abundantly whereas those who cannot do so have to wait longer. Spiritual evolution is something personal, and each one brings with him or her past background to progress, all under the name of the protective guidance of the Master. Your Master is constantly with you, extending his protective hand, and knows what is best for you. Trust in him. Shake off sadness and carry on steadfastly. He is competent and powerful. He never fails his children. We enter the kingdom of God by rising above body consciousness. A competent and practical living master is needed to guide the disciple at each step. Guru Amar Das says, "No one can know God except through the Master." A master is a master. He has a body just like anyone else, but he is decidedly a superior man who can guide and help you on the way. The same question was put to Jesus in his life on earth by Philip. "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus replied, "So long a time have I been with you, and you have not known me, Philip? How sayest thou, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? I and my Father are one. He that seeth me hath seen the Father. This is what I tell you. I don't say it of my own accord, but the Father abiding in me, that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me." When the light is lit, it should not be put under a bushel, but placed in a loving manner where it can attract the attention of seekers after truth. What must we do to belong to the army of God? The simple answer is to walk the way of righteousness. In order to enable us to walk in righteousness, we should fill our life with good thoughts, kind words, and good deeds. When one thinks evil thoughts or commits an evil deed, it strengthens the forces of evil. Those who desire to belong to God should feed the sacred fire with the fuel of pure thoughts, good words, and noble deeds. This will burn away all else except God and the Master. The primary duty of a righteous man is to love his enemy and try to convert him into a friend, teach righteousness to the wicked, and spread the light of wisdom. There is no service greater than helping souls find the way to their true home. In whatever sphere selfless and devoted service is directed for this work, it is praiseworthy. All is holy where devotion kneels. The gracious protection of the Master Power turns the barren lands into green fields by the waters of love. The Master Power extends all help to all initiates during the lifetime, as well as at the time of departure. I am glad your mother had the same experience. You need not worry about her. The Master's love for his children is immeasurable and unfathomable, and the more it is enjoyed, the more it grows. I wish love and love alone may prevail among the dear children, so as to wash away all dirt of duality. The sound is a manifestation of the Master himself and is an indication of his constant attention and grace upon you, as it is to everybody who would lovingly seek his grace. The Master Power is your constant companion and is not unaware of the longings that arise in the hearts of the initiates. I am glad that you were able to clear the doubts of those who had confused ideas about the real master. The granting of first-hand inner experience of the light of God within and contacting the voice of God is a great and rare privilege, and this constitutes the best criterion for distinguishing a real master from the so-called masters. Each initiate ought to devote time regularly with faith and love, and in this way develop his experience from day to day. And that, in turn, will give him or her further conviction of the true path on which he or she has been put, until he or she comes face to face with the living reality of the radiant form of the Master. Those who turn their faces towards him will receive ample proof of his competency. Master's love for his children is unique and boundless. As regards the Master's face appearing to you in meditation and then disappearing when you repeated the sacred words, it may be said that it was the work of the negative power. You should not worry about it. The trouble you had later was not due to this, but to a reaction of past karmas, which must be worked out, though their severity and duration is toned down considerably by the grace of the Master. The loving and sheltering care of the Master power is always overhead, and you need not feel bewildered at all. Such illuminating reports of the Master power's gracious protection have been received from various other centers when all attending faithfully not only feel the physical presence of the Master, but often see him radiantly walking among them. These are all gestures of his divine grace and protection for his children to reassure them of his continued grace. The Master's love for his children is unfathomable. Often the children are besmeared with dirt. He will not discard them or let them down, but will first clean them of the dirt and then will warmly hug them to his bosom. So you need have no fears, no misgivings, and no confusion whatever, but carry on steadily and perseveringly on your part in full faith, love, and earnestness. You will get all the necessary help and protection, only if you turn your face to him. The Master's powerful and protective hands are always over his initiates. Shed everything and carry on lovingly with your job, quietly and with calmness. You are not alone. You are on the right track. You have somebody to open your heart and unburden yourself of your worries, darkness, and misery. Please be consoled and assured. All the instances known to history that show that no one has ever progressed to the highest conscious self-awareness without the help of a master. It is rather a fundamental law that no one can snap or pierce through the inner veil without the active help and guidance of a master soul. If anybody can do it by himself or herself, let him or her try and see if he or she can do it. When one does not hesitate in learning a thing which one does not know in this world, why should one have any qualms in one's search for something that belongs entirely to spiritual worlds within? Even if, as a result of some reactions of past lives, one may have some experience of his own, he will still require someone to guide him to further progress on the path. All those who have been put on the way should, therefore, carry on their meditations lovingly and devotedly, so that they may progress within from day to day and enjoy the sweet internal bliss. Just as in the hot, sultry season, when one comes close to a huge block of ice, he will be cooled, or just as one goes into the shop of a perfume seller, he will get the sweetness of the perfume, so will the persons coming in contact with the Master feel some peace of mind and a sort of bliss and a loving impulse for God communion. The Master is like an oasis in a desert. To him, praise or no praise is of no significance. He has an assigned job from the Lord above, and he carries it on lovingly. Please do not be alarmed about the so-called prophecies, as these seldom come true. For those who know say not, and those who say know not is a useful adage. The benign master power working over the heads of his loving children is sufficiently strong enough to extend all feasible help, grace, and protection to them under all circumstances. They need practice and be faithfully devoted to their meditations, which will enable them to be calm and serenely peaceful. I will stop there. The reading was from Spiritual Elixir, Part 2, Chapter 3, Guru, His Need and Functions. Thank you, Master.
Thank you, Marsha, for reading this for us. There were 90 people at today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
Love is true love, which is called charity, which is already ingrained in our soul. If that is directed towards God, that is true love. God is love, our soul is also love personified, and the way back to God is also love.